I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Amari Cooper, it's just announced they're sending their very talented wide receiver to the Buffalo Bills. Good, dependable, veteran wide receiver. You talk about an upgrade from Deshaun Watson to Josh Allen, from the mess in Cleveland to the Buffalo Bills.
It's coming. It's picked up. Going for it all for Cooper.
Receivers from the left side. Rush comes this way with the throw. And Cooper juggles, and he's going to make the catch at the 40-yard line.
Third and six. From the pocket to the end zone. And the touchdown. Amari Cooper.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Well, well, well.
Welcome back.
Jeez. Welcome back to Sneaky Joe. And the big things happen while someone's on vacation.
Yeah.
Because I think this definitely meets the qualification.
Yeah, Bills trade for Amari Cooper. They're saying choo-choo, folks. That's what the sound you hear is everyone saying choo-choo. All right. It happened right after the show yesterday. The Devontae Adams trade happened, and then the Cooper trade happened right afterwards.
Both, like, minutes after?
Yeah.
It's kind of like when they traded Diggs, right?
Was right out. Like, you know, can we work on that? How about 9 a.m.?
Yeah, because you were still here when they traded Diggs, right?
Yes. We had a meeting. I had to be called back in.
Okay. Gotcha.
So anyway, good morning. Happy Wednesday. Yep. Okay. It's Wednesday.
The train's rolled into the station?
The train has arrived. And, man, it's funny. Are they going all in? I wouldn't quite say that. What they're doing is they had a fantasy roster that had an active hole, and they went out and filled it.
Yeah, and they had a good record, too. So, yeah. Like, it was worthy of, okay, we should fill the hole. We're not 2-4. Well, I guess the Jets are 2-4, and they did the same thing.
Yeah.
But the Jets
went all in because they spent more on a bigger player, and they're trying to save it, where the Bills, I mean, I guess
are in good shape record-wise.
Yes, and desperately needed this. There's so much to get to on Amari Cooper. We'll talk to Sal at 7. We were going to give Sal the day off. And like, you know, something happens. Come on.
Uh-huh.
And then 20 minutes later, something he texts happened. Me. He's like, okay, so I think I'm going to come on. So Sal's coming on at 7. Joe Marino of the Locked On Bills podcast at 7:30. Excited to talk to him. Listen to his breakdown of the Amari Cooper trade. Cooper, I learned, is one of Joe's favorite players. Like, has liked him for a long time. So it's not just that the Bills got him, but he likes Cooper.
You could like him for a long time, too, because he is the oldest 30-year-old I think I've ever seen in my life. Like, if you go look at the list of people he played college football with, it's going to blow your mind. He's been in the league for 10 years, and he's 30 years old.
Alabama, right?
So he was a very young entry into the league. Like, I guess he was 20.
He's also been on 4 teams and has never been a free agent.
Okay, he's been traded all 3 times.
He's been traded 3 times and has never hit free agency.
Yeah.
He's about to at the end of this year.
Okay.
So we'll
the Bills give him an extension.
Which is possible. You know, whatever. We can get to that when the time comes. 803-0550 is our phone number. I'm on NFL Pro watching all of Cooper's catches from this year.
Uh-huh.
And, you know,
this year, this is a down year for him so far.
Yes, yes. He is number 1 in the NFL in air yards missed out on due to inaccurate throws.
Isn't the number like
600 yards?
It's massive.
Crazy.
Yeah.
The amount of times Deshaun Watson has just flat out missed Amari Cooper.
Yep.
So there's so much to get to. One thing I'd like to say off the bat is, you know the famous line, if you listen to the fans, you'll end up sitting with them? Yeah, not so much. Not so much this time. This time, everybody knew.
Uh-huh.
Everybody knew in the entire league. Everybody knew you couldn't hack it with what you had. Mm-hmm. And the Bills go out and make a trade, and, you know, good for them in being, you want to say, aggressive, doing it early enough where this isn't at the deadline. They can onboard him now, get him up and running for a couple games, and then by the time you hit the meteor schedule where it's Kansas City, San Francisco, Detroit, teams that you might have to keep up with on some level, you're going to have him ready. Yesterday, you know, one of the first calls I received, this is going to make everybody feel even better. One of the first calls I got was our buddy Carrington Harrison in Kansas City that wanted to talk about the trade and asked me how I felt about the value of it because he's been saying the Chiefs should have done it.
Mm-hmm.
Feel better now?
No, everybody's going to feel way better
now.
Right
now, Chiefs might turn their sights to somebody else, and you know, we'll see how that goes for them.
But they want the guy. A lot of them are going to want the guy.
Yep.
I mean, if yesterday, put yourself, if it had been flipped, if it had been reversed, where the Jets traded for Davante Adams, you can leave that the same if you want. And then immediately after, oh, price has been set. Chiefs trade a third-round pick for Amari Cooper. How would you have felt?
I would have come in here and say, who are you going to trade for?
Mm-hmm.
And Cooper
and
plays...
it felt like you missed out on the perfect guy to get because of the salary and, like,
yeah.
Adams was always going to be tough if no money was being withheld. And that, if you want a receiver of that caliber and you have limited cap space, like, you are on a limited list. You can't just go trade for anybody.
Right. It's like the Sabres being on no trade lists. Like, you're only dealing with half the league here.
Right.
Who you can actually afford to acquire. So there's so much to get to, and we will get to all of it with you at 803-0550. I want to say off the bat that he's not a perfect player, but this is a lot of what it's like at this time. You don't get to pick from perfect players. Davante Adams is older and expensive, and Cooper is a little older and a UFA, expiring UFA. He's not Diggs, but he's really good, and he's been pretty good for a lot of his career, and more than anything, he plays on the outside. Mm-hmm. This is another example.
Yes, he does.
They really could have used this guy when they had Stephon Diggs as their number two. They could have used Cooper instead of Gabe Davis, but okay, that's fine. They've needed somebody on the outside that isn't, all due respect to, Jake Kumerow, or isn't just Gabe Davis, who's very limited, or isn't Mac Hollins, all due respect to Mac Hollins, who I think had a nice game. Somebody on the outside. I mean, how long have we been talking about this? When they drafted Khalil Shakir, we were asking about do they have enough on the outside, and the Bills said we think Shakir can play on the outside. No,
nope.
That's not what we're talking about. A guy that wins outside the numbers, a guy that can beat man coverage, and they've got that. Again, he's maybe not elite, but he's good. And it cost you, one way to say it, less than a third-round pick. A third, and you also pick-swapped a sixth and seventh. That means it's less than a third.
Mm-hmm.
Less than a third. And your third is late, probably. So
right.
I'm just into it. I'm into it. It makes tons of sense, and you know, if we're looking further down the line, all the conversation about how I don't think they really want somebody that commands attention.
I
look forward to never hearing that again.
Yeah,
never again. Next year at the draft, we will be talking about receivers because Cooper will be gone or resigned, and
but older,
older.
Yeah,
Mac Hollins is on a 1-year deal. They released MVS $2.25 million guaranteed for that. For two catches.
Mm-hmm. Two catches on
nine targets.
Nine targets, yeah.
Mistake.
Yeah.
You know, but whatever. You cut your losses and you make a move in the right direction.
That I like too. I'm impressed. They've done this a couple times. OJ Howard, maybe they did this too, where like they gave him like $3 million guaranteed.
Yep.
And like they just, there was no sunk cost fallacy with them. It's okay, we've invested $3 million in this, but guys, look at this. We're not getting any help here. So let's eat it. Like, I don't know that every team I don't know that every team would be willing to do that. Would just be willing to, what is it, six games in with Marquez Valdes-Scantling or any player, just say, yeah, $2.5 million. Let's just eat it. Let's admit it was a mistake in front of everybody.
Yep.
I'm impressed that you're willing to do that. If you've made a mistake, admit you made the mistake and go get better and go improve from it. And I think the upgrade, same as you, like. Cooper's not, I'm not going to put him like, he's not a top 10 receiver. He's not, there was no reason to put a condition in the trade, like in the Adams trade, where if Cooper's a first team all pro, like that, he's not going to be a first team all pro receiver. I don't think. He's playing with Josh Allen now. But he's so much better than what they have. He's infinitely better than what they had on the outside.
Right. He's credible.
Yes. He's somebody that is going to, I think the lesson that might be learned is, when you don't have somebody on the outside, how much harder it can be for your other players on the middle. And I think you're going to see Cooper more, like I want to hear Joe talk about this next hour, how much Cooper could drag coverage, drag attention out to the outside, teams now having to respect it so that Shakir, Kincaid, those guys' jobs get way easier than they've been.
Yep. One way I've heard it said a lot when Diggs left was, it gets really hot without your shade tree. And that's Cooper here. He's a shade tree. when the number one guy that actually commands attention, even the last whatever, however many games of the season last year, when he's gone and they don't have to think about him, they can key in on who you've got and they're not afraid of anybody. It gets real hot without that shade tree. So the Bills have a shade tree and more room for Kincaid and more room for Shakir to operate. So I love it. I mean, it's great. It's great. It's also not a big long-term commitment. It's not a cap hit, right. Cap jail. It's something that lines up with a lot of what they've wanted to do, which is clear their books. And in their transition year, here's the other part of it, Joe. I guess one of the questions would be, are they surprised to make this move, or did they think they probably were going to make it all the time? Because I'm inclined to tell you that, no, Brandon Bean did not really think these receivers were going to hack it. I don't think he did. He's a GM of a football team, of an NFL team that's really good, that has had a bunch of pretty good receivers, a couple of great receivers in Josh Allen's career. He didn't just one day wake up and decide, you know what, I don't need those anymore. I never believed it, and I still don't believe it. So I don't think this is a surprise. I think this is something that, you know, he might have had in his back pocket. Like, all right, let's see how it goes. We made it six games in. All right, it's time to pull the trigger on that. It's also, of course, worth wondering if they would have pulled the trigger on Davante Adams, because it happened immediately after Adams was traded.
A little coincidental.
Yes. So maybe they had with Cleveland a buy it now price.
Yeah.
Hey, as soon as Adams gets traded, we'll set that market and we'll go for Cooper. Or it was, hey, as soon as Adams gets traded, let's talk.
It reminded me of when they traded for Diggs. And was it like 4 hours earlier that the Cardinals traded for Diggs?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
DeAndre Hopkins?
Yes.
I mean, that price maybe wasn't comparable, though, because they traded a running back to get DeAndre Hopkins. But it was like 4 hours later, the Bills traded for Diggs. This was less than that. This was within an hour?
It was minutes. It felt like minutes.
It felt like it was minutes after. Yeah. Which also, by the way, was kind of funny just to see, like, out the Jets. Like, there's Rodgers and Adams smiling on Pat McAfee's show, feeling good, even though they lost the night before, and the Bills just steal their lunch money for the second day in a row.
Yep.
That was fun to watch.
It was very
fun. Not
going
to lie.
Very fun. Also, you know, on the Adams trade, that one was easy to see. Mike Williams goes zero catches, zero targets.
Yeah.
And then Rodgers flat out blames him for the interception late in the game. Like, that guy was gone fast. Now they're taking trade offers from him for him, which, I mean, I guess he'll end up going probably to the Steelers or something because they want a receiver and they didn't get anybody they've been looking for, whether that's Cooper or Adams or Ayuk. So anyway, happy Wednesday. The Bills made a receiver trade. It is a great idea. It doesn't have to be a long-term perfect trade, but it is very desperately needed. And the offense, I think, can probably breathe now. The numbers they just put on ESPN were, you could find numbers for anything, but the Bills receivers in yards and catches and first downs, and they're like 26th in all of those numbers. Woof.
Yeah. The one I saw yesterday that was startling, but not actually that surprising, because how many explosive plays have they had, is that their explosive play rate was lower than Denver.
The Bills?
Mm-hmm.
In the passing game? Or overall?
I think maybe it was overall.
Yikes.
Was lower than Denver.
Yeah.
Just, you should never be there.
You've not
been
getting
enough. You should never, ever be there. That's the other thing about Cooper is, when he's been at his best, this year has not been that. Last year was. Anyone that had him in fantasy remembers what he did. I think in the fantasy
Week
championship.
16 or 17?
He had 265 yards and two touchdowns in one game. Like, he won people their leagues.
So he comes through in big spots is what you're saying.
Yeah, and if you go watch the highlights from that game, which I watched, like, it's a four-minute YouTube video. It's just the highlights from that game, and it's all just like 50-yard bombs down the field. Like, he just runs straight, and Flacco just lobs it up, and bam, catch. He's past the defender. If he's at his best, I think he's also a vertical threat for you.
Yes, he should be.
He should be.
So his raw separation grade from PFF is above average. It's good. I mean, it's not, you know, Nico Collins. It's not prime Diggs, but it's right around where Diggs is now. Mm-hmm. Separation. So he gets separation. Reading his profile on receptionperception.com, we'll get some calls in, Mike. We'll get right to your call in a moment. I just want to make this point. Reading his profile on Reception Perception, Matt Harmon, who we love, I cite him all the time on receiver stuff, he said his breakdown of him basically was there's definitely a lot of ability here. He's really, really good. He struggles sometimes with inconsistency. Like, sometimes he looks like an elite route winner, and then other times he doesn't. So that's the difference between, you know, the elite number one receivers and the guy that's like the 13th best number one. He wins plenty. His percentile wins against man, against zone, against press are totally acceptable. You know, when the Bills brought Keon Coleman in, listen, we'll get to Keon. They brought in a guy that won against man coverage at a really bad rate in college. And you can't just think he's going to come in and beat man coverage in the NFL. He'll work on that. We'll get to that. Here's Cooper beating it regularly in the pros. Like, that's a guy you need. So, finally, I want to say this is like 3 years in the making of the Bills needing someone like this to win for them outside the numbers. They did it with Gabe for a couple years, and that was pretty successful.
Yeah.
But we always wanted a little bit better. I think this is better than Gabe on the outside. So, they probably needed this guy for 3 years, and they've never needed him more than they need him now.
They needed him.
For sure.
There's no doubt. There's no argument. They needed him.
Yep.
Bad.
Yeah, you weren't here yesterday, so you were at the game. We'll talk about that, too. So the post game yesterday morning about the Jets game, it was an awful lot of, hey, nice win, weird game, we need a receiver. Even though they won the game,
yeah.
So 80% of the calls were, this team's still going to need a receiver. And then, sure enough, that day, there it is.
So there's more calls about that than how stupid the officiating in the game itself was?
It was pretty close. It was pretty close, yes.
I have never been, we'll talk more about the game. I've never imagined I would be on the road at a Bills road division game in the fourth quarter of a close game and turning around, just like nodding with fans of the other team, being like, yeah, this game is stupid. This is the dumbest game ever.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad. All right, let's connect with some fans. 803-0550, 1-888-552-550. Connect with our friends, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Northtown Kia, shop online at northtownkia.com. West of New York's number one Kia dealer. Open phone lines for you. Your immediate reaction to the trade, what it means, how it makes you feel about the season going forward. Mike in Orchard Park is going to lead us off. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy. Hit that receiver train, baby. We're back.
Hit that horn. That's right. We're going to hit that horn all day today.
Hey, man, so this is what I'm looking at. I'm sure you guys are going to break all the stats down with Cooper and everything, but the one stat that I'm looking at that I'm kind of excited about is Cooper has created an average of 2.7 yards of separation with all his routes ran, and that is going to create defenses to run less man coverage against the Bills' defense, and I feel it's just going to open up everything around us. We already run the ball really good right now, and I like just overall as the offense stands, I feel you're going to see defenses respect our passing game and enhance. Hopefully, Josh Allen will trust Cooper to just create an overall balance to our passing game this year. So yeah, man, I'm really excited about this. I don't need Cooper to put up crazy stats. I just need him to create separation, and hopefully, you know, it'll get the rest of the guys on going in the passing game this year.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Mike. Yeah, the separation point, 2.7 yards of separation. I saw that yesterday. Next Gen Stats had that. Right. He brings a skill set the Bills don't currently have. I don't think they have that. Matt Collins doesn't do that. Keon Coleman doesn't do that yet. And this might take away snaps from Coleman, but okay, that's fine.
The Bills are not in a developmental wide receiver year. Mm-hmm. They're in a 4-2, and the best team in the league is the Chiefs, and we beat them all the time. Or it's the Ravens, who maybe we need a little bit more to deal with them. Or it's the Texans, mm-hmm. who it came down to a field goal. Like, there are probably four teams in the AFC. Would you take anybody else? Who's going to win the AFC? Those four or the field?
Those four. Those four. Who? I mean, who would you even get to in the field?
The Steelers? The Jets?
Yeah, no. I'm not.
You wouldn't touch it.
The Dolphins to making a comeback. There's no chance.
There's a lot of bad teams in the AFC, and there are four pretty good ones. And all the division races, I mean, is this one over? Sure feels like it. Is the West over?
We were doing the math on that yesterday. Like, the Jets, like, it was right after they made the Adams trade. Like, okay, are you scared? And it's still like, they have Adams. Don't they have to go like 9-2 to have a shot at winning the division?
At the division, they probably have to go 9-2.
Because they have to be three games better than the Bills.
But I think
it depends if they were to win the second game, I guess.
I might be in the minority. I like the trade for the Jets, too, because I know that, you know, hey, if you're not winning the Super Bowl, it's worthless. I mean, ending a playoff drought for the Jets would matter. I would want, if I'm a Jets fan, I would want them to do that. The Bills ended their drought. They traded for Kelvin Benjamin, which, you know, was that a good move? Not really. But it helped them end their drought. So I think it's a fine move for the Jets, but no, I'm not afraid of them. I think they have no hope because of their quarterback, actually.
So it feels like a four team race.
Yep. And the Bills in that race get ahead of Kansas City on trying to track down a receiver.
And three of the teams were all probably thinking about the same position, right? Even Baltimore, if you were to think, hey, they're going to make a move for blank at the deadline, I could have easily put a receiver there too.
Yeah.
With Zay Flowers, like Bateman plays on the outside, and that's kind of all they got. And you know the Chiefs are going to want somebody. So you're going for the same position that they would. Getting to the market early feels smart to me. And now you look at their depth chart. It's so easy, like how one, I've been saying this like a couple weeks ago, I still kind of feel like they're only one player away. That's it. Just one guy. And then it'll all feel like, okay, this is good. I'm good. Sure, I would have much rather had this trade 2 years ago when Diggs was still on the team. But suddenly, you look at their receiving core, and it's like, you could so talk yourself into, okay, they're all set now. Because I've got Cooper on the outside, and suddenly Coleman is knocked down a peg to number receiver two. I don't have to rely on a rookie who has led them in snaps on the outside, by the way, so far this year, to be like the number one outside receiver.
Right, when everybody, or at least a lot of people, said he's not going to be ready to play the outside.
Yeah.
This also might free up Coleman to, ready for this? Play in the slot.
Sure. Because before, like, he just couldn't because they needed him to play every snap on the outside.
Right, right. And Coleman, there's a lot of people that think he would be good in the slot. Maybe this gives him a little more time to, whatever, learn more about the position and work inside where he and Shakir will alternate or whatever.
And also, I was feeling like they're only out. Well, there were two. They had two ways to get more receiver production. And it was just, we're waiting to see if one of them happens. And it was either Coleman takes some massive Rashee Rice step that happened last year for him in Kansas City, or like Curtis Samuel suddenly starts looking three times faster and his foot looks healthy, and then suddenly he's doing it. But now, like, I could still get those things, by the way. Mm-hmm. If I get those things, then the receiving core might be actually great. But I feel like now you have that baseline. You have that foundation. If Cooper is going to be playing well, which I would expect him to, just you're not relying on, well, if this happens and if this happens, then I'm okay at receiver.
We'll run down some of the stats for you on what's gone on for Cooper in Cleveland, especially since being paired with Deshaun Watson, who, if you're following the league, is one of the worst quarterbacks, not only in the league today, but in like 10 years.
Like ever, yeah.
He's horrible. And it's a funny thing what's going to happen to that passing game, because the Browns, who have the worst passing game in the league, just traded away a guy they throw the ball to 27% of the time. Now what? Now what, right. Cleveland? You thought the passing game was bad before. Get ready.
Yeah.
803-0550 is our number, 1-888-552-550. Come on, Bills fans. Wide open phone lines for you. We talk with Sal at 7 on Amari Cooper, on Devontae Adams to the Jets, on the AFC race, because the Bills make a move that indicates they, A, knew they needed something, or B, that it's time to push in a little bit here. It's Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.